This is the Roaring Elephant podcast, and we're back with the State of the Union. State of Open Source. Same thing in the end, basically. And I'm joined by Dave to talk about a lot of things that are new or were new last year in open source.
Oh, I'm so excited. I love talking about this kind of stuff. And I especially love the fact that Jon has put so much time and effort into making this actually a useful discussion.
Yeah, I'll get into more depth about that, but please, maybe a quick hint for people listening to this on MP3. And we'll be showing a lot of graphs on screen, so this is one you might want to watch on YouTube, even if you don't usually do so. We'll try to talk about everything we see on the screen, but there's a lot of stuff, so we won't be able to describe everything you can see. So I will try to put a download link to the presentation we'll be using in the show notes somewhere, so if you want to do that, but then, to be honest, watching YouTube is going to be easier, I think.
Yeah. And hey, you can listen to it at 2x speed and we all sound like chipmunks. I mean, that's got to be worth something.
I have to talk a lot slower now.
No, then they'll have to download it and listen to it at 4x speed. Oh, dear.
But that's a good thing, because then I'm a chipmunk and you're undecipherable. Only dogs can hear you then.
Thanks, I think.
Hey, we have a vast untapped potential audience in the dog population.
Okay, the first open source enterprise tech podcast for dogs. Okay, yeah.
Okay. For people that are used to us, this is always where we go off the rails, mostly. So,
right at the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Cool. Let's get into it. I think I have a thingy that I can show you. We are talking about the 2024 State of Open Source Report by OpenLogic, talking about open source usage, market trends, analytics, and I'm going to stop reading the screen now.
Yeah. OpenLogic by Perforce, I should say.
Talking about open source.
Indeed.
Eclipse Foundation. Astronaut looking out of window. With a lot of worlds.
Yeah, that's a bit weird. Anyway, we have talked about this before. Funnily enough, in 2023, who the funk it? And 2022. There you go. This is actually genuinely quite an interesting report. But one of the challenges that we encountered, especially when reviewing this one, is that in so many cases, they kind of don't really talk about what the results were last year. Like sometimes they talk about it a little bit where there's been a material change, but what we noticed quite quickly, Jon went and grabbed the earlier version and we did a bit of compare and contrast, is actually there are things that we think are interesting that weren't called out in the report. So with the magic of Jon and screenshotting and copying and pasting, ta-da!
I did a cut and pasty thingy, me.
How can I put this politely? It wouldn't make the high tier in the Information is Beautiful Awards, but it is very functional.
Okay, just to be honest, this was kind of the pure minimum effort I could put into this to just cut and paste stuff and plunk it on the Google Slides. But yeah, as you said, it's functional, it's what we need, and all the marketing stuff around it, who cares about it anyway? Give us the numbers, right? Statistics, yeah. They tell the truth.
Exactly. So for those that aren't watching on YouTube and therefore can't see what Jon is screen sharing, what he means is that he's taken the key graphs from the key sections of the report that we want to talk about, and he's taken both the 2022-2023 graph and the 2023-2024 graph.
So can we just call them 2023 and 2024?
I mean, we can, but that's not what they are. Okay. Anyway, he has therefore given us the ability to see back in time.
Compare and contrast.
Compare, contrast.
To see trends.
Identify trends and actually see, you know, some of the things that have changed. So thank you, Jon, for all of your Control-C, Control-V work. I'm sure it was very tiring on those two fingers.
Yes, and my mouse to do the dragging.
Yeah. So
three fingers.
Yeah, very, very tricky. Very tricky indeed.
I love a colleague that doesn't mute his phone on his computer.
That was my phone. Apologies all. Let's just see what that message was.
That wasn't from me, I can tell you that.
No. Oh, and there's another one. Oh, look, more messages. More messages coming in. Sorry.
Okay, well, Dave is doing other stuff. The first thing we're going to be talking about is more about how the survey was put together, basically who they were looking at, who they were interviewing, because this thing, we talked about this last year as well, there's a bias in here, because they have surveyed open source users, more or less. Because if you weren't using open source, you wouldn't have known about the survey, and you probably wouldn't have filled it in either. So the numbers here are a bit on the high side if you look at across the world, I think, but still representative, obviously. And also a lot of the graphs are about how users changed, how things changed over time, which is why we like to have the 2 years, one next to the other. So it's still very useful information, to be honest. So yeah, go to the first graph.
Let's do it.
It's very descriptively called about the survey, because that's what was in the book. And first one, basically, it's not that important, but it just looks at where the interviewees came from, what kind of business they were running, basically. Well, it's a bit generic, obviously, of things in here like technology, education, banking, consulting, the always lovable other, media gaming, government, public service, and so on. And technology is still at the top of the chart. How who'd have thunk that technology people use a lot of technology?
But the interesting thing for me is, and again, I clearly have a bias, that educational research is now quite high. Well, it's basically the second highest compared to last year. It was only like 4.8%. And that, to me, I tend to think that education and research have a very different perspective on things to a lot of these other things, like who that I would call generally like enterprise. And I wonder how much that has skewed the results.
How would they skew the results?
Well, it's
so, okay. I see. I understand. Yeah. They have a different expectation, a different use, different urgencies, things like that. Yes.
And if they are the audience that was providing the second largest contribution to the data compared to so it's 16.4% this time versus less than 5% last time. I didn't clock this when we first watched it or looked at it, I should say.
I think that kind of proved the point that they didn't bias it too much, because the rest of the graphs, we didn't really see any weird stuff that we couldn't explain, which might be caused by a prevalence of education. So I guess it's going to be okay.
Well, you say that, but that's because maybe we haven't seen this. Maybe seeing this with a fresh pair of eyes, we will uncover new uncharted things in the graphs.
Now, when it says education and research, do you think that includes the courses they teach? Because it will obviously include the software they use for their own organizations, their calendaring, mailing, whatevering stuff, and the research, obviously, all the libraries they use to do Python scripts and stuff like that. But I mean, traditionally, it's always been a well-known secret that Microsoft is so popular because they gave Office for free in the schools. So people were used to using Office when they left school. They kept on using Office. I mean, wasn't me, but that was definitely something that worked. And Google is doing the same exact thing right now with their Google Chromebooks.
Yep.
So it's
Sun did something the same back in the day with universities.
So when it says education research here, I read it up and it doesn't say anything about that. Do you think this was internally used or what they were using in what they are giving the people that are doing the studying? Because in the latter case, this would actually mean that a new generation of open source minded people might be ready to storm the world.
Maybe. I would expect it to be both, honestly. Like I wouldn't have expected them to really differentiate whether it's stuff that they're using internally or stuff that they're doing with their...
Depends who they asked them.
Yeah.
They probably asked the IT departments and not the professors.
True. But the IT departments will be responsible for both provisioning student infrastructure and internal faculty infrastructure.
Although I must say, I do study at the moment, and we do a lot of open source stuff for the math course. We use Maxima, and typically it's the tutors that need to figure out why the thing is crashing all the time. Like, they don't really call IT in for that.
I think that's less about the infrastructure, though, isn't it? That's more specialist for those courses.
Exactly, but that's what I mean. I mean, I've discovered Maxima because I always would have used Mathematica, because that's the thing everybody uses for mathematics stuff. Maxima apparently is a open source, free download, cloney thing. It's not a clone, it's a different thing, basically, but it does the same, sort of the same purpose. I would never have known if I hadn't taken this course at this scholastic institution, if that's the right word to say. So now there is some, what do you call that again? Prophesizing. There's some, gaining souls to open source is a part of what education should be doing, I guess. Shouldn't be also open source. People should also be exposed to non-open source stuff, but it should be both, not just a monopoly of one or both. Anything else in there? Banks are still high up there. Always surprise me so much how banks are. I mean, we'll see later that money definitely is a concern. These poor banks are so grateful that there's open source. They don't have to spend money on the software, I guess. I don't know. I'm jesting. For me, in my experience, I've worked with financial institutions in my professional life as well. They typically adopt open source for the innovative stuff, to be honest.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything really. I mean,
Telecom has a big shift.
I was kind of surprised that manufacturing was so large last year, and I'm much less surprised that it's further down this year. That sort of makes sense to me. But yeah, telecoms.
Why?
I don't think of the manufacturing industries being huge powerhouses of open source.
And usually a lack of people as well. I think the shortage of high-skilled engineers, high-skilled software people, it's a lot easier to find somebody with a Microsoft certificate than somebody with a Red Hat Enterprise, Red Hat Certified Engineer certificate. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, but telco has gone down from 7% to 3%.
Yeah.
I think that's survey bias, because I don't really see telecoms in a single year.
Yeah, I think you're right. Heavily. I think you're right. And you've got to also remember, like, there's the number of people that get invited to participate, and then there's the people that actually respond. Mm-hmm. And obviously we don't know, how many people were invited, how many people actually, versus how many people actually, well, we know how many people had the time to respond. It's in the doc, blah, blah, blah. But
100%.
Yeah. 100% of people that responded participated. Yeah. I think you're right. Like, there's a certain amount of this that is survey, that could be, I should say, survey bias as driven by the surveyors themselves, by who they invited. But there's also going to be some survey bias based on who actually responded to the invitations. And that's just... So we shouldn't necessarily read too much into this from a bias perspective as to whether the bias was forced or not, but we should read into it in terms of these are the people that responded to this and this is their perspective. So just bear that in mind.
I do think there was more diversity in the questionnaires here. And the reason I think that is because last year other was 1.1% and now it's 6.5%. And other typically is the more smaller things which aren't big enough to have their own category. So there were a lot more smaller things apparently in this year's respondents. So yeah. For me, that would mean it's more diverse.
And yet, I struggle to think what would fit into... other. But we've spent 14 minutes talking about the first slide, so we should probably carry on.
Come on, I have like 20 slides. That's 20 episodes. The year is done. That's how we do this stuff, right?
Oh dear, let's move on before everyone's fast forwarded to the end to get
let's move on to the next slide, which is called about the survey.
Oh, God. Yeah,
so here actually we're not looking at the business entity kind of categorization, but more of the person, what kind of job the person does. And they kind of shrunk the categories a bit this year. They assembled them together because last year was a very long graph with very small percentages each. So that kind of makes sense. But I think last time we kind of looked at this when we prepared this, and if you added everything up, there wasn't that many big shifts, to be honest. Developers, engineers are still at the top of it, which makes sense because they're probably the ones that don't have these kind of survey invites go directly to spam.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, though, much like your comment on the last one, and I'm almost hesitant to raise it again, but the other category has gone from 3.9% to 11.4%.
Okay, but then more diversity.
I desperately want to know who all these others are.
Yeah, but that's because you're a social person. I'm not. I don't care.
Fair enough. In that case, moving on.
Yeah, just thinking.
I mean, it makes sense that it's not quite, but it's almost inversely proportional to seniority, isn't it? Like, there's a huge amount of kind of ICs individual contributors.
Okay, don't be seniority, but more like a heighten the hierarchy of
Hierarchy. Yeah, yeah. So, like, you've got the bulk of the survey results are coming from developers and engineers, sysadmins. And others, whoever those others are, and then it goes up through the hierarchy.
I think the others are like SREs, DevOps engineers, things like that.
Could also be given the influence of research and education. Could also be teachers
or researchers in general.
Yeah. So, as I say, it then tends to go up. So it's managers and directors and team leads and then towards the end you've got VPs at the very bottom of the stack.
Just below the community managers.
Yeah.
Which actually is bad.
I think that's
because it's a title that isn't that often in use. Exactly. You have one per company while you have 2,000 developers in the company.
Exactly. That's it. Like, there's very, relatively speaking, like developer advocates, developer relations, evangelists, community managers, there's just not very many of those people around. It's quite a specialized role. Those people are awesome, by the way. If you're one of those people, like, reach out. We'd love to talk to you because I think what you do is awesome and love to have that conversation on the podcast.
And I think they need more limelight as well because, like, 10 years ago, community managers and developer relations evangelists, those were the people that I listened on MP3, on podcasts, that I watched on YouTube to tell me about all the new great stuff. And at some point, marketing crept in, and I stopped paying attention. Now, I do know there's still good or authentic community managers out there. It's just it gets snowed under by all of the marketing BS out there. So, yeah, if you are a authentic community manager evangelist, we want to talk to you. If you're marketing, we want to talk to you, but you're not going to like it.
Moving on. Before Jan insults any more of our audience.
I'm not insulting, I'm giving opinions. And they're just mine. Who bets that the next slide is also called about the survey?
It's not.
You lose, because it's called. Has your organization increased the use of open source software over the last year? Now, this is what the one slide that in the 2022-2023 survey, I have to keep it up with Dave now. They actually had 2 years there, the 2024 only had the 1 year, so you can put them together, but, and that's something they do a lot in these things, they shaped it differently, so it's hard to compare. So, what are your takeaways?
I mean, my takeaways are still, if you combine the, like, yes and yes significantly portions, like, it's still by far the bulk of the graphs. The graphs are terrible, by the way. They're really ugly and unreadable. But what you can see is that it's...
Although, hang on. Yeah, they're the same. They're 70-ish percent.
Yeah.
I was troubled by the colors because they change the colors to mean different things. It's addles the mind.
But yeah, like it's roughly 70-ish% for through 2022, 2023, and 2024, which is awesome. Like the fact that more people are adopting or more people are increasing the use of open source software compared to what they were doing last year. Fantastic. Love it. Let's do more.
On the other hand, the people that say they reduced their use of open source or in 2022 was 1.60%, 2023 1.50, 5.40 in 2024. And I don't think this is where the bias doesn't help out, because again, this is sent to people using open source, not people who had, let's see what this is, and oh no, I don't want this. No, these are people that are typically veterans, so they wouldn't be on the mailing list probably. And it looks like for some reason this has gone, the rejection of open source has...
I've got a spicy take.
Hot take,
I've got
hot
a
take,
spicy
hot
take. Have you got it? Are you ready?
Yeah.
So, what if this was not a bad thing?
Ooh.
Dave
here telling you all to junk open source.
We don't often talk about our employers, but anyone watching on YouTube can see the giant Grafana logos in the background of my video. I work for Grafana Labs. We have an open source offering. Jan works for Elastic. Grafana Labs also has a cloud offering. So what if that 5.43% of people who said they reduced the use of open source software were like, we love open source software so much, we signed up for the SaaS platform that's inspired by the open source that we loved.
Oh, God.
Hey, how's that for flipping the script?
Would you make that distinction? If I was going to use a MySQL service in Amazon, would I say I'm still using open source? Well, MySQL is not open source. That's one problem. So let's say MariaDB. Postgres. Let's say Postgres. Safe choice.
I think if you were, then you probably would. But a lot of solutions, Grafana Labs included, Our cloud offerings are based on our open source technologies, but they do have a lot of additional components
same
to
for
them.
Us.
Exactly. So,
yeah, you're right. Okay, could be. In that case, I'd say the percentage is too low. the flight to cloud, be it good or bad, let's do that in another episode, is more than 4%, although 4%.
But then, the bias of who we're
talking to. Okay, fair enough.
It's interesting though, isn't it? And I must admit, I'd only just thought of that as I was thinking about the scope increase or the percentages increasing. Because I was trying to think of the reasons that between 2022, 2023, and then now 2024, people would have abandoned or moved away or rejected more open source. And
I had another one. Go for it. I think it's more that, and again, guess here, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Guess. Maybe it's that people didn't need it anymore because we're post-COVID. And in COVID, people had to scale up very quickly, very fast, very whatever. And then buying a billion-dollar application somewhere is risky. While, okay, let's download that open source things. If it works, we'll try it. We'll start using that. And we can always shift over something. At least we have something. And they kind of kept using it. And then the whole pandemic wound down. The whole remote working wound down. People went back to normal-ish worlds. And maybe it's just that in 2022 and 2023, there were more people going into, yes, we're expanding more because we need something that works. And now it's like back to normal and that open source stuff. Well, we used to use Jitsi for our telecommunications because we need a lot of it, but now it's just a little bit. So we're going to go back to Teams and Zoom and things like that.
I don't think that's likely. And the reason I don't think it's likely is I think if that were the case, I think we would have seen a far, far bigger percentage shift. Like if it was something
that
was... I
said the same thing about your cloud theory.
I mean, yeah, you're right. But then, but I, my counter to that is, like, I think about the audience that we're that this is being targeted at, which is, you know, people, open source developers, open source engineers, like, and they, yeah, I don't know is the honest, I don't know. It's an interesting one.
Yeah, it is. So now for the big question, do we call it a day or do we move on?
I think we do. I think we call it a day on that interesting curiosity.
Now, the good news is that this is the last of the prep slides, let's say. After this slide, we actually go into some meaningful slides, although I think the discussion was meaningful anyway.
I mean, as meaningful as we ever are.
Ooh. Well, you can take that both ways. I mean, yeah.
Fair enough. Well, it sounds like we are wrapping. So in that case, that's all the time we have for today. You can support this podcast by becoming a Patreon. Every contribution helps, you know, helps Jon copy paste more things, which is you know, very, very expensive for us. We are on YouTube. You can like, you can subscribe, you can hit the notification bell and do all the YouTube things. Go to roaringelephant.org for a link to our Patreon page. And for more information about this podcast, please send feedback to podcast@roaringelephant.org. Until next time, my name is Copy Dave.
And my name is very meaningful but nonsensical Jon.
Oh, I thought you were going to be paste Jon. Anyway, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
Goodbye.
See you then.